This is Rebecca Lowe, or Rebecca Lua, if you listen to Suboptimal Radio, and you are listening to Men in Blazers on the NBC Sports Network.
It's unbelievable!
From the Embassy Row studios in the crap part of Soho, it's the Men in Blazers podcast.
Yes, sir, it is.
How you doing, Rog?
I'm tingling.
Shot our seventh Men in Blazers show yesterday evening.
Many of you think it made the top seven.
You're not so sure, though.
Some of you said it made the bottom seven.
Yeah, perhaps more accurate.
We made a slight tactical mistake.
Yeah, which was?
Which was we made a hurried, rushed acquisition of what we thought were Diego Costa jazz gloves.
Yeah.
But as a lot of you have told us on Instagram, our mistake was Firefly.
Yeah.
The great show, sometimes cancelled, sometimes not.
Uh-huh.
We look more like the Hands of Blue, the pair of mysterious men in suits and blue gloves, the contractors to the Union of Allied Planets.
Uh-huh.
Anyone who comes into touch with them are killed without mercy with the use of a sonic device that induces massive bleeding from every orifice.
Wow.
Which is very like Diego Costa, actually.
Very, very similar. Very similar. I thought we looked a little like the Blue Man Group.
Every orifice, Rush. Though, David.
I know. I don't like the word orifice.
It's not the way I want to go.
It's just not a nice word. Anyway, you're looking good, Rog.
Oh, thank you, David.
Very dapper.
I'm feeling quite ready for change, David.
Really?
You and I had a beautiful visit this week.
Yeah, we went to Freeman's Sporting Goods, Rog.
We have decided to move to Tweed.
Yeah.
Hashtag move to Tweed.
By the way, when Rog says we have decided to move to Tweed, that basically means Rog has decided to move to Tweed. And the way Rog decides to do things is he starts sending out emails with move to Tweed in caps, all caps, many, many times a day. And then I realize, oh no, we are moving to Tweed. He doesn't hashtag it. You just go, our move to Tweed.
I'm so excited.
I'm supportive.
There's two types of people in this world. And we got a tweet on this subject
from
at Spurs _US, who I think relating to something I said last week, said there's two kinds of people in this world.
Number one.
Those who wonder how Julia Roberts ever married Lyle Lovett.
Number two.
And those who wonder how Lyle Lovett ever bothered to marry Julia Roberts.
Wow, which one are you in?
Point well taken. Probably in the latter, actually. Probably in the latter. As a cruelly disfigured man myself.
Yeah, I'm number one.
You are. That's so interesting. But the other way, that we've talked about this before, there's those who love summer.
Uh-huh.
The shorts, the muscle tees.
Yeah.
And those who crave cardigan.
Yeah.
Hugging weather of winter.
And you're number two and I'm number one.
Really?
Yeah. It's why we have a successful podcast.
So I'm excited about this move to Tweed.
Yeah.
And
move to Tweed.
When we were with Enrique, Master Tailor.
Oh, we love him. From Cuba.
From Cuba. I turned around to you and said, why do I love Tweed so much?
Yeah, it's a great question because you hate pretty much everything English.
Yeah.
And British.
Yeah.
And yet you love Tweed. Well, it is more Scottish than it is.
It's definitely one of my top two clothing fashion items from the Outer Hebrides in the mid-1800s.
It reminds me of your university years.
Probably not.
That professor who would talk to you about poems in some dusty study.
Ooh, I'm trying to blank out those memories, David.
Yeah, dusty study.
I think it's more that it's a...
What is it? What is it? Why do you love Tweed so much?
I find it very romantic.
Really?
Dirty Harry wore it.
Yeah.
Miss Marple wore it, and I love Miss...
I love Miss Marple.
Cool, Miss Marple.
Yeah.
If only she weren't fictional, Dave.
Yeah.
But well. I also loved that in 1924, George Mallory,
The
great English adventurer, went to climb Everest.
Yeah.
Dressed, Dave, in a three-piece military-issue Harris tweed suit and a pair of sheepskin boots. The fact that he never returned is by the by. I just love that someone would wear a three-piece tweed suit.
Yeah.
To try
I've
and
got
tame
to bring
Everest.
In a picture of my grandfather playing golf in a three-piece tweed suit, but with the plus fours on bottom, but with wooden golf clubs. But he would play golf. He was a scratch golfer in his tweed suit.
You know what I think I'd like to do, with your permission, with no emails in caps?
Yeah, move to Tweed.
I would like to invite Dr. Tweed from Freeman's Sporting Club to come on a future show. Maybe we could record a kind of Tweedibus.
In video?
Format for all the people who are wondering about the different... There's 8,000 different Tweeds, Dave. It's wheels within wheels. It's a confusing world.
Yeah.
But I'll say now, to Tweed and moleskin pants. The other thing that you befuddled me at with Freeman's, you told me you like my inner voice.
I love your inner voice.
More than me.
No, well, do you know what? It's not so much I don't like your inner voice more than you. Rog will very often start whining or complaining about something. And then immediately this second inner voice of Rog comes out and just goes, what are you doing, Rog? Just stop whining. Stop complaining.
I'll often say, shut the hell up. I'll often remind myself there's people in a lot worse. But I'll say, stop, you're moaning. I'll shout
and
out.
And inner voice always, you change your shoulder position a little and you look a different way whenever you go to inner voice. You look a little bit different when you go to inner voice. But it's not that I like him more, but I feel a bit sorry for inner voice because real Rog never listens to inner voice. Whenever you tell yourself to stop complaining, stop whining, or stop doing whatever you were doing, you actually then do it more.
Oh, I'm a genius.
I think you need to take inner voice out for a nice meal.
I need to inside
say
out.
Say sorry.
You'd like me to let my inner voice out?
I'd just like you to listen to your inner voice occasionally. Just say yes. You know one day, even if you don't agree, just say yes.
You know what my inner voice is saying now?
What?
Happy Veterans Day.
Oh,
David.
Happy Veterans Day. See, now we're listening to the inner voice, Rog. What a great day, Rog. We've seen it. We've seen Remembrance Day commemorated across the Premier League. Some really beautiful moments. I know we've made fun of the big poppy. We made fun of the helicopter at Leicester. But really some beautiful, beautiful moments.
By the way, beautiful poppies, not just on the football kits. I mean, the English football has really embraced it. It's a modern thing, Remembrance Sunday. Remembrance Sunday, not a modern thing, but football wrapping itself around Remembrance Sunday. But I really love seeing the poppies on the Dallas and Jacksonville jerseys at Wembley at the weekend. I thought that was absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, classy. Definitely classy. Veterans Day today in the US as we record. A Rog, huge number of GFOPs serve in our armed forces or are veterans, Rog.
Do you know there's 21.2 million military veterans in the US?
Wow.
We're indebted to each and every one of you.
Yeah, absolutely. In what will likely go down as the most regrettable purchase of his life, Jeffrey Messina, Rog, has won our auction to attend a taping of the Men in Blazers show. Mr. Messina and a friend will come to the crap part of Soho, watch us shoot our crap TV show, and if they're so inclined, sink a pint or two of non-crap Guinness with us afterwards, Rog.
And that was our auction.
Yeah, brilliant.
Well, thank you, Mr. Messina. Every one of your $3,500 that you bid will go to the Wounded Warrior Project.
Yeah, brilliant.
In honour of Veterans Day. Thanks to everyone that helped us with this auction, and Mr. Messina, we look forward to meeting you in person.
Yeah, can't wait. Rog, we've got a packed pod as we chase down all the football narrative before taking a week-long sad nap during international break four. We relive Chelsea's defeat of a limp Liverpool, celebrate Charlie Austin's hat-trick. It wasn't actually a hat-trick. Shake our heads along with Arsenal and Spurs fans, tend to your Ravens, and welcome Aston Villa and US goalkeeper Mr. Brad Guzan on the pod. Looking forward to that, Rog.
Very excited.
Okay, Rog, we've got a new Guinness to sample here. To the football, we've got the Guinness Blonde. Going to crack open a bottle of this. I've really been looking forward to trying this, Rog.
In honour of the US games against Colombia and...
Oh.
An island. We're drinking
can't wait.
Guinness Blonde American Lager.
Love it. Can't wait.
Let's open this thing.
Good one. That's Rog pouring his into a glass. I'm going straight from the bottle. Okay. This is excellent.
I'm a big believer in sound effects, David.
This is excellent.
Ooh, wow, that is hoppy.
It is a little hoppy. I like it, Rog. I'm really a big fan. Okay, football, Rog. We are 11/38 of the way through the Premier League season. Far too early to call the race over yet, Rog. But big question.
You've got a smile on your face when you say that, David.
It is too early.
Yep.
Way too early.
Yep.
What do you make of a top five that includes Southampton, West Ham and Swansea, Rog?
Yeah, I mean, it's the product of a season of regression, David, for so many of the traditionally big teams. The table to me right now, it looks like it did in the late 70s when teams like Ipswich, Aston Villa, Nottingham Forest all threatened and seemed to menace.
Yeah.
This is the season when nobody wants to come second, third or fourth.
Well, it's like we were talking about this yesterday. Last season, we had a one-team mid-table. Everybody's at the top, everybody's at the bottom. One team was in the middle. This season, it's the opposite. Everyone is in the mid-table, apart from Chelsea at the top and Burnley at the bottom. But even Burnley won this weekend, Rog. So who knows? Okay, the big game, Rog, the big rematch of that massive, almost title-deciding encounter at the end of last April, last season. Liverpool 1, Chelsea 2. Once again, Chelsea leave Anfield with all 3 points. Liverpool made the mistake of scoring too early, Rog. Emre Can bouncing one off Gary Cahill in the 9th minute, but just 5 minutes later, Cahill took advantage of Liverpool's sub-optimal zonal marking. Is there any other form of zonal marking, Rog? On corners and hit home from close range. In the 67th minute, that man, Diego Costa, smacked the ball home in his blue gloves, leaving Chelsea with a four-point lead at the top of the table over Southampton.
Weird, weird, weird times at Liverpool. They continue to stumble after fielding essentially a reserve team in the Champions League against Real Madrid at the Bernabeu. There were wholesale changes again ahead of this game. 19 players fielded in two games and no points out of the two of them. In many ways, to me, Dave, I don't know how it is to you, it's like Liverpool have never really recovered from Gerrard's slip last season. Bit of a kidney punch that was. Stevie G's fallen and he's never really gotten up. But in the early interchanges of this game, as the Stevie G falling down song boomed around Anfield, Liverpool opened with a positivity bordering on confidence.
Yeah,
they passed the ball around with optimism. They pressed Cesc, they pressed Matic whenever they were in possession. Hazard and Coutinho took turns to run through the gut of opponents in the midfield. And 8 minutes, 22 seconds in, Chan.
Given a load of space.
He'd already practiced his deflected Harry Kane shot in the first couple of minutes. And then he did it again. A build-up of 24 passes featuring 10 Liverpool players that left Courtois flat-footed when the ball bounced in off Gary Cahill. At Two Yellows tweeted us and said, a Harry Kane deflector sounds like an Arctic Monkeys song. Actually sounds more like an Arcade Fire song. But to me, David, when that ball went in, and I know there must have been for you, but we'd not discussed it, there was an inevitability about how Chelsea would respond.
It was too early on the West Coast for me to tweet too early, but it was too early. Having said that, Liverpool, I do think, started the game brightly. I think there are signs that Liverpool are starting to get their offensive mojo back, Rog. But this Chelsea team are just so tough and so physically strong.
They're mentally strong, David.
They've been a mentally strong team for a long time. I've said for a long time they are mentally the toughest team in football. Under Mourinho, they're even mentally tougher. They just have such physical strength across the entire park and speed that will beat you. And of course, they came back into the game. But it wasn't from open play, Rog. It was from a corner. Diego Costa wins the ball in the air. Liverpool players, all ball watch, six of them, Rog, go out to the ball. Defending in a zone, four Chelsea players ahead of them, ping, pang, pong, ball carons into the back of the net off Cahill.
It was amazing. Gary Cahill giveth, Gary Cahill taketh away. But how those six defenders looked on passively as four Chelsea players touched the ball within Mignolet's six-yard area. Four of them. They were less football players. They were more spectators with really, really, really good seats. And then Skrtel and Costa started to get into it. I mean, it was a beautiful thing to behold. It was like watching fan fiction from people who like Kindergarten Cop a lot. Diego Costa looks like the villain in Kindergarten Cop. Martin Skrtel looks like a man whose hobbies in this program when he's interviewed would include ethnic cleansing.
For me, it was like a scene out of 300, Rog, those two. There was something like sort of yore. There was something primordial about that matchup.
At Golden Ballson tweeted, Skrtel is at the root of it. He has vowel envy.
Yeah.
The honest truth is that Martin Skrtel had just said a couple of weeks ago that it was Luis Suarez who taught him rude words to use against Diego Costa when Slovakia played a Euro qualifier with Spain recently. So this thing has got history, and it's very nice that Luis Suarez's legacy remains.
What a lovely man to learn from.
Skrtel told the Daily Express, I wrote to Luis Suarez to thank him for the rude words he taught me, which I used against Diego Costa. Slovakia won that game 2-1. It was a surprise victory. Who'd win that fight, David, if the ref didn't do the silly thing and stopped it? Who would win? If the two were just left alone to go a little bit Tony Twist, Rob Ray.
I must say, it's interesting you mentioned Rob Ray because, of course, Costa did take his shirt off. And when he took his shirt off, I think we were all surprised at how little muscle definition Diego Costa has. He doesn't look super strong.
I was just surprised how smooth he was.
Very smooth.
Very smooth.
But he doesn't have huge... He looks like an amateur... He's got an amateur boxer's body, is what I'd say. And yet, there's something about him which I just cannot believe he'd lose to anybody. Skrtel, you know, the sleeves are a bit too, you know, the sleeves are a little bit too put on for me.
Skrtel's...
The tattooless body of Diego Costa, I think it's taken.
Costa wins every time. He looks like a bloke who knows. We've talked about this before. If you're in a fight in a pool hall, only amateurs pick up the cues. The true pugilists pick up the balls and let them fly. Diego Costa is that man. And we'll get back to him, because Liverpool came back on at half-time, and it was fascinating to hear their choice of song the DJ played, Genesis, Invisible Touch. She seems to have an invisible touch, yeah, sings Phil Collins. She reaches in, grabs right hold of your heart. Mm-hmm. She has an invisible touch, yeah. It takes control and slowly tears you apart. That is Diego Costa, and that is Phil Collins, the nefarious Phil Collins, I'd say, foreshadowing what was about to occur, because Liverpool's second half, odd strategy, ceding the ball and space to Chelsea right in front of their back four, Oscar started to excel. I'd say Cesc was oddly muted in this game.
Yep.
But Lovren's lack of confidence, the centre-back, spread across Liverpool's back line. Hazard started a run at Skrtel. God, when he decides, David, when he decides to dominate the game, it's like one of those dirty Harry car chase scenes where they suddenly just speed up the film. His acceleration, it looks like a special effect that was added in post-production.
Yeah. Well, he sucks up space. He makes players commit to him, even when he's not doing something incredible in the game. And across the field, unsung heroes, Ivanovic. I mean, Azpilicueta, you know, fantastic performances from an entire squad, really playing with each other.
He was persistent on the left, and it was his tidy clipped chaos-inducing cross that led to
Diego Costa thumping his laces through the ball and scoring the winning goal, Rog.
He has the ability to adjust his body to pants on the chance like no one I've seen.
Yeah.
And Chelsea-Everton, it was Seamus Coleman that got into it with Diego Costa.
Yeah.
Diego Costa laughed at him once he'd scored. Here, as Liverpool Skrtel discovered, Costa seems to thrive off needle, David.
Yeah. I think he loves needle. He thrives off needle. That's so well put.
Defenders get into his face at their peril. I love this second goal. We both did. Jose Mourinho trying to suppress his delight. He jumped into the air like Will Ferrell as one of the Spartan cheerleaders and then decided to just shut it down.
Yeah.
And so everyone's saying Liverpool, they just weren't in it. But the honest truth was the penalty shout.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Cahill with that great save.
Yeah, fantastic save. I mean,
most keepers find it hard to get down so low so quickly, David.
As you said last night, Chelsea have got so many good keepers.
And Stevie G ran towards the goal at the referee at that second.
Yeah, I know, saying it's clearly hand. He was like, you know, pointing to his vein.
He looked
right
like Renton in Train Spotting.
Yeah.
I feel terrible for Stevie G, David. Yeah. I really, watching him walk off at the end of that game full time.
Yeah, he doesn't walk fast either.
Played at Liverpool for so long, never won a title. He was in touching distance, really within touching distance last season. But you got a feeling looking at him, clearly I'm projecting, but looking at him as he walked off, walked around the field.
You're going to suggest he's losing his hair, Rog?
No. Stevie G, he's got a funny kind of like, it's like a downy, it's like a duck's arse.
No, it? It's that housewife on Real Housewives of New Jersey. He's got that same hairline.
Oh, it's never going to go that. But Liverpool, you got a feeling he was a man who knew that Liverpool's potency has just evaporated.
Teresa Giudice. That's the hairline.
It ended well for her as well, David. It ended well for her as well. I can't imagine what an unshakable ache that the false hope of last season has conjured in his heart.
Yeah.
Scars have the strange power to remind us that our past is real. Cormac McCarthy. And then you had Chelsea fans serenading at the end of the game. Even Fernando Torres is better than you. Even Fernando Torres is better than you. I guess towards Balotelli. That is probably the ultimate insult, David.
It is, yeah.
And they're starting to point the finger at Brendan Rodgers.
Yeah, but I do think this was a better Liverpool performance. I don't think Chelsea are in the same class as Real Madrid. I don't think they're in the same class as Bayern Munich. Don't think they're in the same class as Barcelona, Rog. But they are at this point head and shoulders above any other team in the Premier League.
Yeah, I mean, the Brendan Rodgers anxiety is fascinating. Resting players against Real Madrid and having his team play so limply. I remember interviewing Bob Gansler, who was the US coach in the 1980s, and he told me that a coach has to not take the highs too high or the lows too low. That's the coach's main job. I think Brendan's starting to seem like a man who took the highs high, Dave. Very, very, very high indeed. At Palmer 1124 tweeted at Men in Blazers, after watching a few Liverpool games, I now know why at John Green writes such sad books.
My question a little about Liverpool this season is, Raheem Sterling worked hard, but suddenly in the early season, Raheem Sterling looked virtually unstoppable. there's another game you're seeing Raheem Sterling not being able to truly create a moment that I can remember from that game.
That's because you're too busy celebrating Chelsea's record 17 straight games without defeat in all tournaments, club record. Go on, can you do a Jose Mourinho interview?
A fantastic performance, an expression. You have to sound really bored to do Jose Mourinho. An expression of a vision, especially in the second half. We didn't accept a point. It was fantastic.
And then he went on to say, all we can say now...
The only thing you can say now is we are champions of the autumn.
Are they title winners, Davo? Arsene Wenger thinks so.
Well, that's not what he said.
He said they're on course for 100 points this season. If you look at the number of points they have, if they keep it up, no one will catch them.
If they keep it up, and if, which is going to be very hard over a 38-game season, they're still in every competition, Rog. The impressive thing about this performance is they played in midweek and turned around and immediately went and played this well on Saturday. But they're still in every competition they entered into at the beginning of the season. If they play this well, but also if their opponents, if their opposition continue to play this badly, they're going to win it by a landslide. But I don't believe that's what the Premier League writers have in mind.
The question I can't get my head around is why everybody else has become suddenly so mediocre. I mean, it's a slew of micro reasons. City have brought insipidly. They've not replaced burnt out key players in time. Liverpool flew too close to the sun. Arsenal have just enormous blind spots in the transfer market. All of those teams chased strikers like cats love catnip or fast boys love fast cars. None were pragmatic. None bought themselves a Matic. Paul Heywood wrote in the Daily Telegraph, he said, decadence is undermining the big teams. The pressure to spray spend, I love that word, spray spend, £100 million each summer is not yielding good results. It brings problems of balance and integration. Only Chelsea have cracked those, David.
Yeah, look, Chelsea have taken a lot of criticism, rightly, for all of those managerial changes over the last 10 years. But you look at just look at the back five they've built. Courtois in goal, sent out on loan to Atletico. And look at their back four, Ivanovic, Terry, Cahill, Azpilicueta. You cannot think of another team in the Premier League who would have put that combination of players together. It wouldn't have been attractive to them in any way. And I think it's that spine, it's that defensive record. And now they've got offence as well, Chelsea, that is going to make them a very, very formidable team in the Premier League and probably in Europe as well, even though they're a step short of the European elite. OK, Rog. Talking of the opposition, Queen's Park Rangers 2, Manchester City 2.
Read that score again.
Queen's Park Rangers 2, Manchester City 2.
My ears do not believe
it. A tenacious QPR hold the defending champions to a draw at Loftus Road. Charlie Austin put the home side ahead in the 21st minute. Actually, put them ahead twice before he got the goal in the 21st minute. Before Sergio Aguero struck to make it 1-1 at halftime. City again fell behind via Martin Di Michaelis' own goal. And again, it was the nimble Aguero who neatly sidestepped Rob Green before drawing City level. The draw left City 8 points behind league leaders Chelsea. How pissed off must Sergio Aguero be that he's having this season and they still are sitting all those points behind Chelsea, Roger?
I mean, that's the question. I think probably even more pissed off that he had to wear that bold purple outfit. But from the outset of that game, it seemed like a different kind of game. City seemed like they just outmaneuver QPR's cumbersome back four with ease. And this is what I didn't understand. No sooner had they established that fact than they just took their foot off the gas completely. Handed over all initiative to QPR. Harry Redknapp, credit Harry.
Been
very bold in his selection. He gambled the house on playing Bobby Samora ahead of Vargas and Charlie Austin.
Want to buy me house?
And he hoped they'd conjure ways to score. And they kind of did, David, because we went into this madness of Charlie Austin. Goal! No goal. Goal! No goal. It was all very Kaelin Clay, Utah versus Oregon crazy. I mean, he had to just continuously double take. The first was shaken off for offside correctly. Yeah. The second, again correctly, for the fact that Joe Hart had kicked the free kick twice. Who told everyone that? Joe Hart had to admit that he'd done that.
What a strange rule that is. That it becomes a dead ball and it doesn't become, at the very least, an indirect free kick to QPR.
It made me wish there was some kind of penalty decline option in the EPL, like in the NFL. But credit Austin. He would not be deterred.
Yeah.
That was a man hell-bent on doing the birdie dance, no matter what the official said.
Yeah, he loves that dance.
When you want to do a birdie dance, don't you just... You'll go through hell or high water. Yeah.
Nothing's going to stand in your way if you're
Charlie
that kind
Austin
of a man.
Cross the Khyber Pass.
You're right.
He would go through the rings of hell if his mind is set on doing the birdie dance.
Yeah.
And so on 20 minutes after fine work from Eduardo Vargas, he found the ball at his feet.
Yeah.
Slightly offside position, arguably. But I think the referee at that point was just too tired to call it.
Yeah.
1-0. By the way, Vargas, what a player he is.
He's a terrific player.
He has so many other things I really don't like in football.
Which is?
Neck tattoos.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan Jumpman on his neck.
Uh-huh.
He's got the oversized stars on his elbows. Yeah. Hate the oversized
really?
Stars on it. I hate him.
I won't get those.
But there's still so much I admire about his play.
Yeah.
And then City, without David Silva. Samir Nasri and Jesus Navas do not a David Silva make. And all they have right now, Davo, the only gentleman who is just Charlie Austin without the birdie dance.
Sergio Aguero, Rog. What a striker. What a player. Just what a finisher. What a footballer. A total footballer. I can't believe Argentina didn't win the World Cup, Rog.
Well, they would have done if they'd gone long ball to him like City did to get themselves back into the game. He brought the ball down beautifully, albeit probably with his hand.
Yeah.
Then he jinked the defenders in and out. Lee Dixon called it snake hips.
Yeah.
Snake hips.
El Serpiente, like Carl Martino.
I was fascinated. That was Carl Martino's nickname when he was in LA. El Serpiente.
So good.
I'm fascinated this week to read in the Mirror a Kun Aguero article when he said, he's been studying NFL game film. He's a huge Cowboys fan. He said, I love the speed they can get out of a one-on-one situation to escape from a crowded area. He means the running backs.
Yeah.
He said, I'm fascinated by their training methods in the NFL. They work on a lot of upper body stuff. Stuff. I'm sure he didn't say stuff. And their leg strength. He said, I can relate to the running back with my style of playing.
Cutting back, hitting the hole hard. I love that. It is, and we've said before, when you watch Sergio Aguero play live, you're blown away by his physical strength.
You
his
think
lower
Emmett
body
Smith.
Strength. Yeah, you're right.
But shock, shock, shock.
Yeah.
How much fear did QPR have of Manchester City?
Well, when you've got a goal scorer in a mostly average Premier League like Charlie Austin, you don't have a lot of fear of anyone, Rog.
Yeah, I mean, the second QPR goal came right through the heart of City's backline. The ball was whipped in by Charlie Austin. Zamora causing all kinds of chaos in front of goal. Di Michaelis, in panic, knocked it past the bedraggled Crazy Joe Hart.
Yeah.
City had to go route one again to tie the game up. Bloody hell, Kun Aguero. Again, the ball over the top. Again, the chest down. QPR goalkeepers and defenders bouncing off him like raindrops.
Mm-hmm.
And he finished, Davo, with the greediness of Homer Simpson with a dozen Dunkin' Donut holes.
You're so right. And Yaya Toure, Rog, what of wither Yaya Toure?
Some of those passes, Davo, were the kind of passes the Men in Blazers national team will execute. But none of our Men in Blazers will wander around the pitch with a huge piece of snot on their own chin.
Another player who you feel just could turn it on if he wanted to.
Yeah, what is going on, Davo? Are QPR good or a City bad? Because I've got to say, QPR are going to be picking up or will have picked up some admiring new Americans as fans with their pluck and thrust that catches the eye.
Look, 8 points in 11 games for QPR. Scored 11, even with a very good striker, Charlie Austin. They've conceded 22, Rog. They're not very good, but they certainly look good against Manchester City.
Yeah, I mean, this is the Premier League of mediocrity, folks. And one in which the bottom teams can always hurt you. They're all been empowered by the money that's come in from this new TV deal. There's no poor teams in the Premier League anymore. Even Everton have turned a profit. But Manchester City remind me of Adam Ant. Spoken many times of how I revered Adam and the Ants as a kid, right?
Oh.
And I recently met a makeup lady. She got picked up. But I don't know how we got talking about Adam Ant.
Well, we talk about him all the time. I don't know how we got talking about Adam Ant again.
With her.
Yeah.
And she told me she got picked up by Adam Ant at a wine bar.
Great night in her life.
She said that she was a very attractive-looking young woman.
Uh-huh.
And she said she was originally attracted to him because she loved Adam and the Ants as a kid like I had.
Mm-hmm.
So they went home, I presume, to either her home or Adam Ant's home.
Yeah.
First base action ensued.
Wow.
They went to the bedroom.
What a dream.
And before their bodies entwined on the mattress, Adam Ant goes, hang on a minute. And he just took off his toupee.
Oh.
And then hung it, she says, on the corner of the bedpost. So this toupee was just like hanging on the bedpost.
And what did she do?
She lost that loving feeling.
She did?
So she says.
Yeah, well.
She left this. She should have snuck this. Should have got hold of the toupee. Would have got a fortune on eBay. Sit here like adamant to me, just standing there with their hairpiece off, their bald pate exposed to the world. That's how I view Pellegrini. He calls it. Pellegrini says they have a crisis of confidence. It's the toupee, David. They're paying a price. They have not refreshed the squad. They've got mediocre role players like Jovetic and Jesus Navas, who flatter to deceive. I think the more this goes on, the more there's going to be calls for City to have their squad broken up. They should just build it around Frank Lampard now, right, David?
Well, and Milner, who's having a very good season, Rog. I do think there's some truth, is you need a core of those players. They don't have to be English, but core of players who just want to win so badly, competitive week in, week out in the Premier League. And that's the question about Man City. It's about their heart when it comes down to it. Okay, Rog, Swansea 2, Arsenal 1.
Read that again, David.
Swansea 2, Arsenal 1. Can't wait to hear what your friend Michael Cohen makes of this, Rog. Another Arsenal game, another Arsenal defensive collapse. The Swans come from behind to beat the Gunners at the Liberty Stadium. Fantastic atmosphere at that stadium, Rog. I just so want to go there. Alexis Sanchez notched his sixth goal in the last four league games to put Arsene Wenger's man up 1-0 in the 63rd minute. But a stunning Gylfi Sigurdsson free kick and a Bafétimbi Gomis header just 3 minutes apart move Gary Monk's men, Macklemore's men, Rog, to fifth in the table.
Yeah, I did ask Michael Cohen, the man who told me that he was pleased about Arsenal. They got their crap games out of the way.
That was last week. They got their crap games out of the way early.
He said he was premature in that analysis. He said next week.
Okay, now they've got all the crap games out.
That's what he told me. But this comes after their latest Champions League calamity, in which they leaked three goals after being three up against Anderlecht.
Yeah.
And you have to credit Arsenal and Arsene Wenger for finding ever more inventive, devious ways of torturing their own now long-suffering fans, Davo.
Yeah.
Because in this one, they knock the ball around like men who appreciate the beauty of a morning spent in the park doing Tai Chi.
Yeah, they play beautiful football when they feel like it, Rog. And Alexis Sanchez and that goal, Rog, a thing of absolute beauty.
But then, every time Swansea moved forward, Sigurdsson and Montero would drive them forward. You could hear the sound of Arsenal's defenders' sphincters tightening, David. Montero charging at Callum Chambers. I found it almost too brutal, savvy. It was like,
why is he even in that position? Why are Arsenal still attacking 1-0? This is what Arsenal fans are asking. 1-0 up on the road, last 20 minutes of the game. Why are they still committing on forward? Why are they getting counter-attacked, Rog?
Well, by the way, this pattern of Montero at Chambers, it was established from the outset. Montero did everything to Callum Chambers, short of give him a bris. Was like, honestly, I wouldn't have been surprised if he gave him a ritual circumcision during that game. He was like a child star who's lost the mojo, Callum Chambers. Out of position, admittedly, right back. He looked like Nick Carter to me, partnering with Jordan Knight. Too desperate to get his little mojo back with Nacho Monreal. Swansea were confident going forward. They were robust at the back. At one point, possibly one of my favourite points of the weekend, Ashley Williams kicked Santi Cazorla's shin pad so hard, David.
Oh, my God, the sound of that, the audio. Well done, NBC. The audio of that kick.
Ashley Williams hurt his own foot.
Yeah, and Ashley Williams has large, strong feet.
And then the rain lashed down.
Yeah.
Clouds of mystery pouring confusion on the ground. And then I got worried with Arsenal's jerseys. It became almost indecent. I thought the referee was going to have to call the game off for too much nipplage.
Yeah.
It was like a wet T-shirt contest.
Yeah, Alexis Sanchez couldn't even rip it off when he scored.
I think they needed to invent a new industrial machine to get some of those off. Oxlade-Chamberlain stormed forward like DeMarco Murray. Welbeck held the ball up intelligently. And Alexis, beautiful Alexis, rammed it home.
Yeah, brilliant move from Welbeck. Actually, deserves a lot of credit on that goal.
By the way, as well as being the season of mediocrity, this is the season in which those who can score, Diego Costa, Kun Aguero and Alexis Sanchez, cannot stop scoring whenever they want. Mm-hmm. But Swansea took it on the chin.
Yep.
And the rain too. We've come to realise that when Arsenal play, Alexis Sanchez is going to score a goal.
Yeah.
And when he scores a goal, that is inevitably
it's
the
a
symbol.
Sign. It's a sign.
And unfortunately, it's a sign that Arsenal are about to collapse.
Yeah.
I'll say this. I think the fact that the Swansea nicknamed the Swans gives them an unfair competitive
in the rain. Yeah. In the rain, Rog.
They have three types of feathers, contour, flight and down, which serve as a protective outer shell and insulation to trap warm air against a bird's body. And who did it? Spurs reject.
Yeah.
Gylfi Sigurdsson.
Gylfi Sigurdsson.
I love his intent. You love him.
Yeah, I love him. He's a fantastic player. I can't believe Spurs. Spurs fans can't believe. Spurs themselves cannot believe
he's
that they gave up Gylfi Sigurdsson. He's superb. And a fantastic set piece, Rog.
30
curls
yards.
It in. Curls it in, Rog.
Do you know, I was reading a physicist, a man called Ken Bray,
yeah,
who was marvelling at a free kick like that. When the ball goes over the wall, the free kick taker has a mere 6 ball widths kind of letterbox to aim at. Mm-hmm. And he said he wrote that physicists marvel at the act. I mean, we know football players are not meant to be the brightest bulbs in the box, but he wrote they have to perform multivariable physics calculations instantly to compute trajectory and execution.
Including David Beckham. See, I could believe Gylfi Sigurdsson could do that, but I find it tough to believe that Beckham was doing that. Even though, what an amazing right foot.
GFOP physicists. Tell me if you do not marvel at what Beckham did. Apparently, yeah, it's a piece of mathematical genius. I mean, Arsenal Arsene Wenger pinned the blame on the absence, quote, of the right rigorous attitude. But he must take a huge amount of the blame, David. Second game in which his team let a second half lead fritter away. Everyone could see Chambers to centre back, Monreal to the outside was needed at Le Petit Prof. Tweeted us, which was more predictable, the Alexis Sanchez goal or the inevitable Arsenal collapse, David?
And also, when talked about Matic earlier, the team, you know, we've accused Manchester United of never filling the void of Roy Keane. Arsenal have never done this with Patrick Vieira. There is not a player in Arsenal's midfield who can take control of the game by the scruff of the neck and sit in front of the back four and protect them.
I feel for Arsenal's fans. Nietzsche foresaw their suffering in 1878, when he wrote, "Hope in reality is the worst of all evils."
It was about Arsenal.
"Because it prolongs the torments of man." By man there, he meant Arsenal fans. Note here, fascinated by the pre-game, David.
Yeah.
Watching Per Mertesacker walk out with a circle of Remembrance Sunday poppies.
Yeah.
His granddad and Jack Wilshere's great-granddad.
Probably shooting at each other across the trenches.
Yeah. The complexity of the world, David. The healing power of time and the odd symbolism that football's recent embrace of the Remembrance Sunday.
Yeah.
Conjures. It's going to get worse for Arsenal, David.
Yeah.
They're rumoured to have just signed David Beckham's kid, Brooklyn.
Wow. Wow. But he might be amazing at taking free kicks, Rog.
Can he play right back?
Yeah, maybe. Down on the South Coast, Rog, and some wonderful South Coast weather. Southampton 2, Leicester City 0, Rog. A brace from substitute Shane Long. What a brilliant pickup that was for Southampton. Gives Ronald Koeman's second place team 3 points at a soggy St. Mary's. Another great result for Southampton.
Soggy St. Mary's sounds like a dessert we got at school.
It does.
Do you want that with custard?
I'd love some soggy St. Mary's right now. Sort of spongy, right? Vanilla.
We'd have raisins in it.
Yeah.
Amazing stat I can't get over, David.
Yeah.
Southampton have only leaked one goal at home the entire season.
Southampton have only leaked 5 goals the entire season. That's 6 fewer than anybody else, Rog.
Movement, confidence and understanding. Mane and Chelsea loanee Ryan Bertrand, David.
Yeah.
Up and down those flanks. It's amazing to me, according to Raphael Honigstein, the Guardian's Premier League, the German Bundesliga Premier League cover writer. He said Mane had only one other Premier League offer when he was banging them in for Red Bull Salzburg.
Huh.
It was West Ham. Liverpool turned him down. They didn't rate him highly enough to make a bid. And in the 68th minute, on came Shane Long. Within 7 minutes, he made an impact with a delicate finish. He knew that ball had gone in the second it left his boot. And 5 minutes later, he scored again, breaking Leicester's offside trap and beating Schmeichel 1-on-1. Ronald Koeman on the bench, David, with his blanket.
Yeah.
Cross his knees like Franklin D. Roosevelt.
Yeah.
Why do you think he looked so miserable when his team was so glorious?
I think he might be a bit bored. It's like, we're so good. When's anybody else in England going to try and, like, play us? I heard this league was competitive.
I don't know.
His face looked like that of a man who'd just been told he was in line to become Spurs' next manager.
Well, he could be.
But don't worry, Southampton fans. Dave O'C in the Premier League writers' scripts. Ron Vlaar's going to become your new manager. He'll keep you in second place. 2-0 to the Saints, and the St. Mary's crowd sung, "The Saints are staying up. The Saints are staying up." Leicester, not so sure they will. They took all those great points from Arsenal, Everton and United earlier on in the season. But now they've just had 1 point from the last 18, warning signals flashing. And Southampton, dicey run of fixtures about to come on, Davo. They take on Manchester City, Arsenal and United in successive weeks at the end of November.
I still don't see, though, why the same rule that applies to Chelsea doesn't apply to them. If they keep playing this well, and if the opposition continue to play so badly, I can't see them doing badly. And that defensive record, 5 goals in 11 games, and that home record, 5 wins, 1 draw, 4-17 against one, I got to tell you, they are going to remain up there. I'm not saying they're going to finish second. They remain up there, Roger.
You know what's fascinating to me?
Yeah.
Not only do they bring in unbelievable players like Tadic and Pele, but all the players that
it's
they
the
lost.
Academy.
Callum Chambers, Ricky Lambert and Adam Lallana.
Yeah.
And Dejan Lovren, who moved to Liverpool for $32 million.
Uh-huh.
He's had more defensive errors than any other player in the Premier League.
They sell well.
Southampton have not had a single defensive error all season.
Yeah.
I think Southampton pop into the players when they leave. Dye packs. Like what the banks put into currency to fill bank
that's
robbers.
That's genius. It's a great idea.
Yeah, you can have Dejan Lovren.
Yeah. He's done now. Okay, Rog, talking of Spurs, Tottenham 1, Stoke City 2.
Read that again,
Tottenham
David.
1, Stoke City 2. First half goals from former Barcelona star Boyan Rog and Jonathan Walters earned the Potters their first away win since August. Spurs sink to 12th. After their third loss in the last 4 games. I always wait after Spurs lose for another email from another Spurs supporting mate telling me that they are going to have to find another Premier League team.
Yeah, well, Mauricio Pochettino is doing what is known in the trade as a David Moyes.
Yeah.
So many Premier League teams are in transition this season, as well as being the season of mediocrity and the season in which those who can score whenever they want.
It's a season in transition.
Season in transition. Unfortunately for Spurs, their transition is unique in that it's been going on since 1972.
Pretty much.
I have to say, supporting Spurs, Davo.
Yeah.
And I say this with no flippancy at all.
Yeah, as an Everton fan, Roger.
Yeah, because I relate to it. And as a Jewish bloke.
Yeah.
It's an admirable test of character.
Yeah.
It's like watching people be kicked in the balls over and over and over and over again. Because this started with hope. Harry Kane, he's a saviour. 5 goals in the Europa League.
Yeah.
Which is a bit like, I think, being the best dunker at the University of Chicago. He got his first Premier League start of the season.
Yeah.
And the game plan from the off seemed to be, let's get the ball to Harry and see if he can bank it in off an opposing player again. Because Spurs look rudderless.
He's a shorter version of Peter Crouch, is what Harry Kane is. With less foot speed.
And Stoke, they just smashed and grabbed, exploiting the space in transition behind Spurs' fullbacks. And within 6 minutes, it worked. Andros Townsend lost the ball in midfield, and Boyan charged 30 yards unhindered before he drove the ball past the cruelly exposed Hugo Lloris.
Yeah, it's tragic. I don't know what Tottenham can do, Rod. I don't know what they can do to reverse this tide. Younger players?
Tried that. Older players? Tried that.
Different foreign players.
Tried that. It's like they're cursed. Because this is Boyan. You call him a star. He's more a starlet at Barcelona, not made good. I mean, he's like a pitching prospect.
He was somebody who had a huge amount of potential. Everybody thought was going to be the next great thing.
And then his stock plummeted. He's like a pitching prospect. He was meant to be an elite ace and then ended up as a long reliever for the Brewers. But nothing adjusts you to the Premier League quickly like the Tottenham defence. I have to say, seeing him at Stoke after being at Barcelona, Roma, Milan and Ajax, it's like seeing Charlize Theron in Monster. Walters double Stoke's lead.
Yeah.
Befuddled Danny Rose again, the culprit.
Uh-huh.
We almost made Nasser Chadli's goal on moment a wow, David.
Yeah.
He defied Pythagoras to smash home that ball from an impossible angle.
Yeah,
but then Kyle Naughton got himself sent off. Spurs, 6 red cards in 2014, more than any other team.
Yeah.
And now they've lost 4 of the last 5 at home. 6 points from 6 is their home record. Pochettino had said, our field is too narrow. That's what he blamed it on. It's got to be something more. Emmanuel Adebayor, this I love. He suggested after the game that the fans booed the players and that was the source of the problem.
Oh, yes.
A spokesman for the Tottenham Supporters Trust quickly fired back. They made an official statement where they said, "We supported you last week at Aston Villa. It was brilliant. You were still rubbish."
Wow. Touché. Manchester United 1, Crystal Palace 0. Rog, everyone's favourite cuddly midfielder, Penguin Juan Mata, came off the bench to drive home a 20-yard winner for United at Old Trafford, where Louis van Gaal's men are unbeaten in their last 5 league games. United currently on 16 points, Rog, only 2 off the top 4. Palace, meanwhile, have not won since September.
Yeah, at Sam Kupferberg tweeted us, how far have United fallen? Southampton has pushed them off. NBCSN. You had to riddle through the kind of lesser channels to find them.
Yeah.
With a question, how would their patchwork defence hold up? All of 4 of their senior centre-backs are either injured or suspended. Van Gaal shuffled through 3 different centre-back pairings over the course of 90 minutes. Luke Shaw looked excellent going forward. United had all of the ball, 72% possession, but very little nous. Palace soaked up the pressure and sought to break like a mongoose. A mongoose who wasn't that fast. A mongoose that wasn't that clinical. And a mongoose that had Fraser Campbell missing the open chance of the game in the first half after Blint and McNair stumbled. But he chipped harmlessly over. United huffed and puffed and then Mata entered the game, David.
Oh, happy feet too.
Yeah, I've got to say very quickly, Di Maria in this game subdued. Yanishai is to play as what Liverpool are to teams. Sizzling last season, listless to this. But Mata, whoa, deflected strike, he just trotted on. The Spaniard, I mean, we'll admit the goalkeeper probably should have done better, but the way he ran to Old Trafford fans and then pointed at his own jersey, Davo.
Well, it's nice for him to have a good moment.
Yeah, at Bro No Way tweeted us, the second Ted movie should just be a loop of that Mata goal over and over and over. He's like a teddy bear nowadays anyways. This was poor on the eye, but 3 points is 3 points for United fans. A first clean sheet in 6 for Van Gaal. He said originally, judge me after 3 months at United. He's now revised his opinion. He said the process shall take more than 1 year. It shall now take 3 years.
The process.
It's like a Bible, David, that's been written by different voices and redacted.
Yeah. Yeah.
Van Gaal. I did enjoy talking about God. I did enjoy LVG talking about Rojo's injury.
Oh, yes. I cannot change the human body. God made it, not me.
And the way he delivered that line, you could tell he was employing false modesty, David.
Yeah, pretty much.
Another nice story out of United this week, Rooney.
Yes.
This should be a segment that we call Poetry in the Mundane. Very inspiring story. Wayne Rooney.
Oh, yeah, was revealed, he was a poet, right, Rog?
Under 17 England team.
Yeah.
He once stood up in a locker room, asked the coach if he'd mind if he recited a poem that he had written to the rest of the team. The poem, sadly, has been lost to time. We asked you to recreate it. Mm-hmm. We got hundreds of beautiful entries. I think we'll post them, JW, on meninblazers.com. Shortly. But the winner who will receive a patch is Sean Kittredge.
Okay.
Who calls himself a GFOP, who loves John Berryman. I love John Berryman and the Magpies. Don't really love the Magpies. But here's his poem, David.
It was a lovely poem as well, Rog. I shall read it. Upon the shores of Trafford, a light called out ahead. A clarion call to glory, bathed bright in white and red. It startled wives and children, filled rivals' hearts with dread. 'Twas not the sun on Albion, but the glare off Rooney's head.
Oh,
beautiful.
He could be our poet laureate.
Beautiful.
I mean, Sean Kittredge, not Wayne Rooney.
Well, you never know. West Brom 0, Newcastle 2.
Read that again, Rog. David.
West Brom 0.
You're making this
Newcastle
up.
Nouveau Château 2.
Wheels within Rog. Wheels.
Calls for Alan Pardew's job seem a distant memory. Everybody's ripping up their signs. No, it wasn't me. I always wanted him to stay. After the Magpies win their
Even
4th
Mark Twain's laughing.
On the trot at the Hawthorns. A silky Ayoze Perez, one of the most underrated players in the Premier League, Rog. Flick. In Judge Ivor Bennett time, put the Magpies up 1-0 and a 63rd minute Fabrizio Colaccini header sealed the team's move into the top half of the table, Rog.
We've said that this is a season of narrative flips.
Yeah.
Last season, Brendan Rodgers' genius. This season, what does he know about football?
Yeah.
Pochettino.
Yeah.
Last season, Steele. yeah. brilliance this season. He just looks like Roger Clemens' kind of dumpy younger brother.
Yeah.
But we've had a narrative flip within narrative flip within one season, Dave. Yeah. Alan Pardew, absolute abject failure. And now Newcastle defender Darryl Yanmat says, Pardew's as good a manager as Louis van Gaal and Ronald Koeman. Where are the sack Pardew placards now, Davey?
Yeah, well, I got to tell you, it will encourage perhaps fans of Liverpool, Arsenal, anybody. We need your team will only get better if you call for him to be immediately fired.
The Premier League, it's like Gossip Girl in the fifth series when everyone had banged everyone and they just had to make ever more ludicrous pairings. The narrative is going a little crazy. I'll say about the sack Pardew placards.
Yeah.
I don't think they were misplaced.
Yeah.
I just read David Goldblatt's very interesting new Premier League history, Game of Our Lives. And when you read it, you realise just how poorly the fans, the passionate fans of Newcastle, have been treated, not just by Mike Ashley.
Yeah, although he's looking like a hero now.
But the shepherds who preceded them.
Yeah.
And they definitely deserve better. Optimists will say Pardew has managed to take the team now within 2 points of fourth, Davey, with 10 players suffering long-term injuries. And when they come back, great things are ahead. Realists will say, wait for December. Chelsea, Arsenal, local rivals Sunderland, Jozy Altidore hat-trick, Liverpool and Everton all await.
Yeah, but when you say the names of many of those teams who we've always referred to as the top six, they just don't strike that level of fear into you anymore, Rog. And Newcastle have some very, very good footballers starting to come together as a team. Anyway, Rog, great football this weekend. Some of the other games. Villa stopped a six-game losing streak, Rog, drawing 0-0 with West Ham at Upton Park.
Five unbelievable saves by Mr. Brad Guzan.
Our guest coming up soon. Villa nicked the point on the same day Andy Carroll returns from injury for the Irons. Coincidence? We think not. Burnley, Rog, got their first win of the season, beating Hull City 1-0 at Turf Moor behind an Ashley Barnes goal. And Sunderland and Everton, Rog, play to a 1-1 stalemate at the Stadium of Light. Rog, you've got to talk about Everton sometimes. What's going on?
I'm sad to admit, watching them this season is starting to wash over me.
Wow.
Can't tell if I'm numb, Davo, as a preventative measure.
Yeah.
This was two teams with big, bold ideas and shoddy execution. Two goals, both aided by the other team. Everton's disintegrating wall. The other, a penalty which went through Pantomian rather than by him. I'm sad to admit, Davo, there's two times I've really loved watching Everton this season.
Uh-huh.
The first time is whenever I played them on EA Sports.
Yep.
And I signed both Zlatan and Mix Discord.
Yeah.
Love that. Love that. And if anyone out there, try it. But the most pleasure I've experienced as an Everton fan this season is watching Liverpool play. And I don't want to be that guy, David.
Yeah.
Don't I read this morning. I read a Princeton study on Schadenfreude.
Yeah.
You know, we're biologically programmed to take pleasure in the pain of those we envy.
Yeah.
The study said we found that people did smile more in response to negative rather than positive offence. And this is the key line, David. But only for groups they envied.
It's interesting, Rog.
Don't want to be that person, David.
What is the mood, though, of the Everton faithful, of the Everton fans? What is their criticism? Is it of Martinez? Is it of the players? Is it of the way the style with which they're playing? What is it? It's another team. It's a lesser story.
Europa League.
It's not as dramatic as Liverpool.
Europa League.
But they were not playing well before the Europa League.
You look at like Spurs. They've done terribly at home. Four of their losses have come right after the Europa League.
Yeah.
So there's the transition for them is adjusting to the midweek games. There's definitely been some fingers pointed at Lukaku, particularly after this game, where he just seems so off the pace and so syncopated and lacking in both intelligence and desire. But I think there's always a feeling that in this league, Davo, where everything is possible and the compression between second and 19th is almost nothing, that Roberto Martinez, people still believe that he will fathom a way to move us there.
In other news, Rog, related to Everton, former Man United and Everton manager David Moyes, Rog, has washed up on Spanish shores, not literally. Yesterday, Real Sociedad announced the 51-year-old Scot will be their new manager. The side are currently 15th in La Liga. Moyes was cast aside by United in April after a tumultuous 10
month's reign.
Yeah, it's funny, Dave. The team have had 2 wins in 11 games, Sociedad. That's before he took over. So it may get worse. But it's a team that qualified for last season's Champions League. So they also have a tradition of hiring British managers. He's the fourth British manager following Englishman Harry Lowe and Welshman John Toshack and Chris Coleman. There's a tiny phenomenon of English managers who've done well abroad. Bobby Robson at Barcelona, Roy Hodgson in Switzerland. There's an even slimmer number who've rehabilitated their career after a relapse, like Steve McLaren.
Oh, in Holland, yeah.
Bob Bradley-style rehabilitation. Whatever happens, Moyes will be the wiser for it. And I'll just say, as an Everton fan, it is funny. When he went to United and then lectured Everton about how they should operate and give them Baines and operate to in the face of a big club, I despised him. I do wish him well. I'm trying to think why. I realise retrospectively now, he did so much work at Everton. And then he went and destroyed Manchester United. I think I would imagine a lot of Everton fans actually wish him well in a way they didn't when he went to United.
Interesting. I agree. In an MLS, Rog, we are down to 4 teams. The playoffs continue on the other side of this international break. New York takes on New England in the Eastern Conference Finals. The Galaxy play Seattle in the Western Conference Finals.
Wow.
The first leg of those games will be Sunday, November 23rd. The winners will play for an MLS Cup on Sunday, December the 7th.
How badly must MLS be praying for a Los Angeles-New York final?
That would be huge, Rush.
I mean, I do believe that final could really propel the league into their 20th year in such a wonderful way.
Yeah.
Not just the narrative of the dueling retirees, Thierry Henry and Landon Donovan, or the two big markets, but with New York City FC and LAFC, or LA Law, waiting in the rings, it really sharpens things beautifully.
Yeah.
By the way, Landon Donovan's hat-trick against Real Salt Lake.
Amazing.
Did you love it?
Well, I think it's to go out on top. Who doesn't want to go out on top, Rod? Who doesn't want to see Landon going out playing great?
Those people who are laughing at Boys to Men and Five for Fighting. Are they still sniggering now? A lot of people asking, why is he retiring now? And he keeps, I'm making this film about him, and he keeps saying the same thing. He said he'd play on if he didn't have to train. But it's a grind, it's not fun, and his body's breaking down. I spent the afternoon with him last week. It was a wonderful interview. We spoke for a long time about depression and the cloud that has thrown over his life and how he's grappled with it. But I did also ask him about, and Brian Phillips wrote a beautiful piece about this, the New York Times Magazine photo spread of the 2002 US World Cup team. The famous photographs of McBride and Beasley, and particularly Landon lowering his lips seductively. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just Google Brian Phillips 2002. And he laughed and he said, in 2002, we were young. We didn't know what we were doing. And I said, what did you think about as your lips went ever closer towards the water fountain in that very odd pose? And he said, what I thought about was, wow, the girls are going to love this.
It's so wonderfully delusional. Okay, Rog, our guest today, a goalkeeper from the streets of suburban Chicago. He's a former University of South Carolina, my favourite state, Rog, an MLS star who moved to England to ply his trade in the Premier League. Currently, he patrols the penalty area for Aston Villa, carrying on the long, proud, and most importantly, bald tradition of American goalkeepers abroad. We welcome to the pod a man they call the Polar Bear, Brad Guzan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you, Brad. Brad, paint a picture. Where are you right now? Where are you sitting? Where are you joining us from?
I'm actually at one of my friend's apartments here in London. We've got the evening off tonight, so going to be joining them for dinner.
Wow, big evening. What part of town are you in? What part of London?
Over by Canary Wharf.
Oh, wow. So actually not far from where I grew up, over the river in Greenwich.
If you're taking a night off, that means you've already worked out how to shut out James Rodriguez. America can feel quite relaxed about the upcoming game.
Be careful when you go out, though, Brad. You're in Millwall territory down there in that part of London.
No, I know. That's what I've been told.
Yeah, you are. So, Aston Villa, You've had an eventful early season. Great game this weekend. We'll talk about that.
Amazing performance.
In a while for you. Currently sitting at 16th place in the Premier League. But we've said it's almost like a 14-team mid-table right now. What is your honest assessment of how the team are doing so far this season?
Yeah, I mean, we had a good start to the season. And then we had a run of games where we knew it was going to be pretty difficult. And we didn't pick up any points. And, you know, aside from the Liverpool result, we went on a run where we didn't pick up any points. And you know, probably more importantly, we didn't really score any goals. And we were lacking going forward, which was obviously a bit of a concern. But, you know, we were able to get a huge point on the road this past Wednesday, or past Saturday, sorry, you know, West Ham away. And as they say over here, we were able to stop the rot. And hopefully, you know, we can use that to kind of build upon now.
Brad, when I think about you, I marvel at your patience. You've spent so much of your career waiting. You were behind Brad Friedel at the club level. We call him the lesser Brad.
Yeah. The much older Brad.
Shay Given.
Old man Friedel.
Also at Aston Villa. I think you played one Premier League game in three seasons at the outset. And then, of course, Timmy Howard has had the gloves at the United States level. What do you tell yourself about yourself when you have to tread water with patience for so many years and at the same time knowing that your career is finite?
No, definitely. I mean, you know, as I say, goalkeepers, you know, they normally don't come into the peak of their career until later on. And for me, it was a big learning curve going from the MLS to the Premier League. And I knew it was going to get, you know, going to take some time to get adjusted to the tempo and the speed of play and the quality of players. And so I knew at the beginning it was going to take some time. And then after that, you know, you need a little bit of luck. You need that break, that opportunity. And for me, it took a little bit longer than I would have liked and wanted to. But at the same time, you know, I'm a believer that, you know, kind of everything happens for a reason. And, you know, when given that opportunity, when given that chance to play consistently, you know, you have to be ready to take it, you know. And for me, that was under Paul Lambert. And, you know, I try to prove week in and week out that, you know, you justify the manager's decision of putting you in the first 11.
Yeah, I've often thought, you know, a striker who wants to get into the team can just hope his opposite number has a weak game or two. A goalkeeper kind of has to hope that his competitive number starts to leak goals. You're essentially sitting on the bench kind of hoping that your team might lose, maybe draw, but you want them to, you know, make a mistake or two. Can you describe what that was like, that experience, as an individual and as a team member?
I mean, you're never really wishing that, you know, upon your teammates and upon the team, because at the end of the day, it's about the team being successful. It's about the team winning games and picking up points. And, you know, you never, like I said, you're never wishing upon another player, especially a teammate, you know, an injury or a bad form or whatever. I mean, listen, we all know those things happen, and when they do happen, you have to be ready for the chance to step into the goal. But you're not sitting on the sidelines saying, "Oh, I hope we concede five goals today," or "I hope he has a stinker," and all of a sudden I can play next week. Because you know, with goalkeepers, it's a bit different in the sense that obviously only one guy can play, and you need the manager's support and the manager's. You know, you need to have his belief in you as the number one, you know, and that allows you then to go out and play well.
People often say about goalkeepers that they need to be pushed. Many of the people who say that, by the way, I don't think have ever been goalkeepers, but it's something you'll hear a casual observer or commentator say all the time. Do you enjoy being pushed?
Pushed by another player.
Yeah, pushed by another goaltender who's competing with you for that spot.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part and parcel of being a professional. I mean, you look at the goalkeepers. You know, we train, you know, we have specific goalkeeping training, and we train off, you know, away from the team for a certain amount of time, you know, during a training session. And then when they're ready for us, you know, we'll go and join in with the outfield players. So we're almost like a team within a team. And, you know, we have I've been fortunate with the goalkeepers that I've been able to work with throughout my career of having good goalkeepers that are good guys, that are good professionals, and probably most importantly, they're good goalkeepers. And And like I said, I've been fortunate to be amongst those types of groups that make me a better goalkeeper.
So you mentioned your manager, Paul Lambert, earlier on. I mean, a man with a strong personality. But Aston Villa are sort of unique because sitting on that bench next to Paul Lambert is one of the scariest men who ever played professional soccer in England, Roy Keane. What? I mean, I don't know if he ever talks to goalkeepers, Roy Keane. He strikes me as a man who might not talk to anyone very often. But what are your interactions with Roy Keane like?
I mean, you know, he's a guy that wants to win. And so, you know, especially, you know, as of late, the stretch of games where we haven't been picking up points, you know, his point comes across, you know, quite clearly. You know, we need to find a way to win games. We need to find a way to pick up points. And, you know, he's a guy that you know, he shows his emotion. He's very passionate about, you know, having the players do well and about the team doing well. And, you know, for me as a goalkeeper, you know, we talk about different situations, different scenarios, you know, maybe where, you know, I could have done better, or in a certain situation where you maybe another goalkeeper from a different game, you know, we'll talk about that, or talk about strikers, you know, just different aspects of the game to, like I said, ultimately try and get better.
I've often wondered, Brad, pro soccer players are elite athletes, and elite athletes, no surprise, are amongst the most competitive blokes I've ever met. But the Premier League is driven by money, and realistically, only three or four clubs have a chance of winning the league from the outset. For a competitive bloke like you, what's it like to embark on a Premier League season knowing that you have absolutely no chance of winning the league?
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, at the beginning of this season, we were second in the table. So for a week or two, I think we were hoping for the best.
We're sailing.
Yeah, of course. No, I mean, you know, you're realistic because, you know, like you said, the league is so almost two-tiered now, where, you know, you've got maybe five or six teams that are, you know, are going to be competing for the title, and then you've got a handful of other teams that are trying to finish as high as possible. And so, you know, it's not necessarily about trying to win the league, but it's about trying to have that pride in that belief in the team to finish as high as you can. Because at the end of the day, when you step out onto the field, you want to put together a performance that not only you as a player, you know, is proud of, but something that the supporters can cheer about, and something that the supporters are proud, you know, about going to a stadium and cheering for the club. And, you know, I think that's important.
People often talk about the duel that goes on between a central defender and a top striker, but they rarely talk about the duel that goes on between the man between the posts and a top striker. And ultimately, it comes down to that mano a mano moment when you're staring into the eyes of Andy Carroll, exactly, who's trying to beat you. What is it? How do you prepare to specifically play like a Diego Costa or
a James Rodriguez,
a Kun Aguero, a James Rodriguez, like these elite strikers, when you ultimately, it's going to come down to you and them standing between a goal?
And probably most important part of it is the mental aspect of it. You know, you mentally have to be strong to be able to stay clued in for 90 minutes, because when you give, you know, world-class strikers, you know, a 5-second spell where maybe they're going to get a touch that you didn't think they'd be able to get to or whatnot, you know, that's when they're dangerous. That's what makes them the best. That's what separates them from other strikers is that brief moment when you don't think that anything can come from it, and then all of a sudden they put one in the top corner.
Turning to the US now, Tim Howard, you know, you probably call him the Secretary of Defense, is taking a year off. What's Jurgen said to you about your number one status when he returns? Is it up for grabs, Brad?
To be honest with you, we haven't spoken too much about it. I mean, you know, for me right now, it's just trying to get as many games as I can. You know, I want to play every game. I want to be the guy that can be called upon and help the team. And, you know, like I said earlier, with goalkeepers, only one goalkeeper can play. And, you know, it's a chance now to hopefully get some more games under my belt, and prove to Jurgen and the staff and to everyone really that I can be the man. And that's something that I've wanted for a while. And, you know, you, like I said before, you have to take your opportunities when they're presented to you.
What is life like for you in Birmingham, Brad? Or as many of our fans say, the city of Aston Villa.
The magical kingdom of Aston Villa.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's good. You know, my wife and I, we enjoy it. You know, the city's nice. The people are really nice. And,
do you live in the city or do you live in the country outside the city?
No, we live in the city. We live in the city. And, you know, like I said, we've been there for a few years now. So, you know, it's home away from home when we're obviously we're not in Chicago. And, you know, it's good, you know, in all aspects. It's, you know, we're very fortunate.
Are you able to sort of partake or indulge in any of the sort of the American things you love? Obviously, the NFL has been over there a lot. The food is improving in England.
Yeah, no, I don't mind the food. You know, there's certain times when you maybe kind of give something a little bit of, you know, a weird look or whatnot that leaves a sour taste in your mouth. But, you know, yeah, the NFL's been here. So we've been to the NFL games before. We've been to the NBA when they've come over.
Yeah.
So we've been really lucky in that aspect. And, you know, it's good to be able to... you know, experience those things.
I have it on good authority that your hobbies, I was told you're an avid moviegoer.
Yeah, no, my wife and I, we enjoy going to the movies, you know, and just kind of taking in the new videos that are out and things like that. And, you know, we spend a lot of time on the road in the bus, traveling up and down the country. So
when we make the Brad Guzan biographic movie after the World Cup 2018 win, mm-hmm. who should we be looking to cast in the Brad Guzan role?
That's a big question. Wow, I don't know.
Channing Tatum,
somebody that's really good looking.
Well, he'd do.
What about Mark Strong?
What about you?
Stanley Tucci. I say,
The Rock. How about The Rock? I think that would be good.
Exactly. There you go.
Or
that's a good one.
One of the animated like polar bears from the Coca-Cola commercials. last question from one of our listeners, at Kyle LeBros, tweeted in to say, Brad, can you please give us some insight into the ceremony continuing the tradition of bald US goalkeepers? Is your head shaved by the man you replace in an emotional ceremony,
like
a bit like the green
cabin
jacket yeah. at the Masters?
That's a pretty good question. It was funny because we were training at Tottenham's training facility today, and I saw Brad Friedel, and one of his first comments was the fact that my hair is now completely gone, and you know, so it's, I don't know what it is about American goalkeepers. I guess that is part of the ritual of being able to play in goal is to shave your head, and you have to be bald. So I guess I've got that going for me.
We've got an incredible number of young men who listen to this show, Brad. Can you leave us with some advice on how they should best prepare or face up to baldness?
Baldness. I don't know if I've come to terms with being bald.
You've shaved your head.
I don't
know if
I have
any
advice for them. Hold on to it as long as you can, I guess, because I've tried, but I think the time's come that this is going to be the way it looks from here on out.
You could always buy a mixed Discarude wig, Brad.
Yeah, exactly.
Or a Beckham.
I can go for the Wayne Rooney and get myself down to London.
Yeah, get yourself Wayne Rooney.
And
that'd
go
be
for
excellent.
A transplant.
I'm just amazed that you could understand a word that Brad Friedel was saying with that ridiculous accent of his.
No, very true. So, he's been over here a lot longer than me, that's for sure.
So big game against Colombia at Craven Cottage on Friday. We're looking forward to it. What kind of a crowd are you expecting at that game?
Yeah, no, everyone's been saying that there's over 20,000 tickets sold, so that
Fantastic.
That'll be awesome. So that would be really cool. And obviously the ties that Fulham has to so many Americans that have played for the club. You know, I think it's going to be a good game. You know, Craven Cottage is an intimate stadium, you know, and so it should be a special night.
Yeah. Great. A bunch of my mates in Southwest London are going to go to that game, became big fans of the US men's national team during the World Cup. Thank you so much, Brad, for joining us. Good luck.
Godspeed.
On Friday.
Thank you very much, guys. I appreciate it.
And
have
for the rest
night.
Of your season.
With
bye.
Aston Villa. Bye-bye.
What a bloke, Rog. What a bloke.
What a beautiful bloke, David.
Yeah.
And what a potential inheritor of Tim Howard's gloves into the long term.
On to the Ravens, Roger. First Raven comes from David Medveski. Dearest emblazoned men, first-time emailer, long-time GFOP. With all of the debate surrounding Jurgen pushing the elite Americans towards Europe, has a similar debate ever taken place in England? For example, I could see Raheem Sterling's skill set and style flourishing in Spain. Rock on, gents. There have been many people calling for Raheem Sterling. Our former colleague at Sirius, Roger Ray Hudson, has gone on the record saying he thinks that Raheem would be a fantastic Galactico. What's your thought on this?
I think money keeps them pretty tight and close to England.
Yeah.
But there's a load of reasons, honestly. It's a great question. Because Jurgen goes on about it. Why is Roy Hodgson not saying the same? Young English players should go abroad. He went abroad, funny enough. He went, as a manager, he went to Europe and became known. It's hard to believe now he's sweet old Roy, but he came known as a man with incredible tactical acumen. Mm-hmm. But there's such different mindsets. There's just a lack of qualified coaches in England. So English football has a physicality. It's tried to catch up and become more technical, but the players don't have any kind of tactical savvy. Funny, Xavi today was asked if Raheem Sterling or Everton's Ross Barkley could play for Barcelona. And he said, why not? They've got incredible physical capabilities and they're good technically. In Spain, we like players who are technically gifted, but both things are important in football. So yeah. Even he's playing off that kind of English footballers are more physical, Europeans are more technical, but there's culture clashes. And I remember when Ian Rush, the great, how would you describe Ian Rush?
He was a poacher. He was a great finisher.
Unbelievable.
A great goal scorer.
For Liverpool in the 1980s, he moved to Juventus, moved up to Juventus. And he had one season there.
Yeah.
And his famous quote was when they asked him how it was and he had a miserable time. He says, I couldn't settle in Italy. It was like living in a foreign country.
Yeah, just like.
So that's it. There's also a feeling about why would they leave? We have such an insularity in the belief that the English Premier League, because it's the best marketed league in the world, is the best league.
Yeah.
I remember when Zlatan once said to Steven Gerrard that he'd benefit from moving from Liverpool to a really big club.
Yeah.
And he would have benefited from it if he'd gone to a Real Madrid or a Barcelona when they were rumoured to be after him, Real Madrid. But I'd rather see English kids, young English kids, move to the world's great sporting youth academies rather than kind of when they're finished products. To do what Eric Dyer did.
Lisbon.
And do it, or to Barcelona, to Ajax, to Portland, Davo.
Yeah.
And benefit from learning the correct fundamentals. I guess we'll always have Bradley Wright Phillips, right, Davo?
Well, it's the only way we created a great tennis player, Rog, in Britain. Andy Murray had to go and train in Spain in order to go and be an elite tennis player. Certainly we saw Beckham went abroad, McManaman went abroad, Michael Owen went abroad.
Even before that, Gascoigne went abroad. Ashley Cole playing in Roma. The guys who've gone away, like Ashley Cole and Micah Richards, are almost done, almost like they're in exile.
Yeah.
They had to go. They wanted to put a distance between them. But England as a whole and English players as individuals would no doubt benefit if they had more of a kind of global sense of wandering.
The winner, Rog, of the coveted Guinness Men in Blazers philosopher, soccer scribe, Raven of the Week is Amy Donovan in Seattle, Washington. Men, for an unknown reason, my family believes that I'm difficult to shop for when it comes to special occasions. This situation has led to a number of interesting gift choices, which inevitably lead me to question my life and my family's opinion of me, when they really could have just gotten me a Barnes & Noble gift card. Gift highlights have included 1, clothes, translation, why do you dress like that? 2, non-alcoholic wine, translation, maybe you should drink less. And 3, a subscription to eHarmony, translation, why are you still single? But 2 years ago today, my older sister seemed to crack the code. She bought me a Timbers jersey for me to wear when attending games. I loved it, and I think that must have been obvious because the following year, she bought me a Liverpool jersey. Today was no different than the last 2 years as my sister presented me with a Holland national team kit she purchased while vacationing in Amsterdam. They've got them at the airport, Rog. This time, however, there were shorts included in the package. Later that evening, my mom asked me if she could get a picture of me in my full kit wanking outfit.
Full kit wanking.
A term she had apparently learned by listening to your show. I'm sorry. After my laughter died down, I had to awkwardly explain to my 63-year-old conservative mother why what she said was so funny. This explanation required gestures, awkward euphemisms, and a great deal of embarrassment. This leads me to my question. Do you have any listeners or viewers that have surprised you My parents are adjacent to the show from my references and my use of their DVR, but who has been the most surprising GFOP you've encountered? To Tweed, Amy. Brilliant. Raven, Amy. Thank you so much. Who has really surprised you, Rog?
I think we're honestly continually surprised and humbled that anyone listens to our
crew.
When I saw Landon, David,
yeah.
He marched in
to
the room I was in.
Uh-huh.
And he told me, guess what I just watched?
No.
And I tried to think exactly what it could be. I thought it might have been Peaky Blinders.
Yeah, it could have been.
But he goes, no, Men in Blazers. And I said, really? Really? And he said, I only watched 10 minutes. I thought it was crap.
That's nice of him.
Yep. But I honestly don't know how any of you tune in.
Yeah. We love each and every fan of the show. I did go to see the Knicks on Monday night playing against the Washington Wizards, Rog. Knicks are terrible. The Washington Wizards are rather good.
George Mareesen.
But as I was leaving, three guys yelled at me, stopped me, shouting, Rog! And they were so excited to meet me. I didn't have the heart to tell
them. That is confusing. Wheels have been wheels. That's
dark
for you,
David. They might
have
thought I was Rog's inside voice.
I'd be psyched if someone called
me David. I'm more like Rog's inside voice. Your international break for weekend looks like this, Rog. USA versus Colombia from Craven Cottage, Rog, Fulham's home ground at 2:45 p.m. Eastern. That's on Friday on ESPN. At the exact same time, Germany, Rog, take on Gibraltar in Euro 2016 qualifying on Fox Sports 2.
Come on, mighty Jib.
And England, Rog, take on Slovenia at noon Eastern on Saturday on ESPN Deportes.
International break week means big changes afoot.
Like?
You're off on a road trip.
I'm off on a road trip, Rog. Off on a road trip. I fly Thursday to Nashville. I think we're arranging a hookup with Nashville GFOPs at some pub, bar, downtown.
And thanks to all the GFOPs who've responded to hashtag Dave Does Nashville.
Yes,
we're
going
to post your great suggestions for how to do that town in The Raven, which comes out this Thursday.
And I pick up Stone Ridge. Arlo Black Stonebridge, the name of the kennels I'm getting him from. Lovely woman, Rachel Griffiths, who breeds these wonderful lab retrievers. And picking him up Friday morning, bringing him back, Rog.
Yep.
Very excited.
I'm not.
I know you're not. You're not excited. Inner Rog is excited about
the
dog.
Arlo Black,
outer Rog.
Arlo Black could be our Yoko Ono.
No, never going to happen. Nothing will ever come between
I'm
us,
off to
Rog.
Vancouver, David.
What are you doing over there, Rog?
I'm going to spend some time with our friends at EA Sports.
Wow, can't wait. Can't wait to hear the full report. Okay, Rog, there are many ways to connect to us. One is through our Amazon Emporium, which helps keep the show going. Anytime you go to Amazon for items, big or small, just click off the Emporium page. And MIB, that's us, Rog, gets a tiny percentage that allows us to cover the cost of creating this podcast.
Which we spread out to our three producers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Aaron.
All the time. Aaron, Lexi, and J-Dubs. What have you put in the Amazon store this week, Rog?
In honour of Veterans Day and Remembrance Sunday, I got a beautiful book sent in from First Second Press.
Yeah.
It's called Above the Dreamless Dead,
uh-huh.
Edited by Chris Duffy.
Yeah.
And it's a collection of World War One poetry interpreted by cartoonists.
Wow.
So it's Rupert Brooke, Robert Graves, Rudyard Kipling, as drawn by the minds of the likes of Eddie Campbell, Kevin Huizinga, and George Pratt. For those who love comic books, it is an incredibly, I found, moving and reflective purchase.
Oh, that's lovely, Rog. Well, this is the difference between you and me, Rog. I've put in there the Purina Pro Plan dry dog food, Rog, the weight management chicken and rice formula, an 18-pound bag. This has been heavily recommended to me, a bargain at $32. This is what I'm going to feed the GDOP Stonebridge Arlo Black, Rog.
My grandma had a dog, Buster.
Yeah.
She gave it exactly what she used to feed my grandpa.
Really?
Yeah, if he had steak and chips and a
I thought you were
going to
say
dinner.
Purina Pro Plan dry dog food.
No, she would give it to my grandpa and she'd also cook him a steak, cut it up over the chips and pour a whole pot of tea over it. He'd eat human food.
I would say my father...
It's enormous. The most enormous dog. It didn't die, it just exploded.
I spoke to my father today.
It's like Ricky Lambert.
Very upset about the name Arlo, Rog. He doesn't believe that you should call any dog any name that doesn't start with a consonant. Because when you call it, you want to say Fido or Roger or Michael. You don't want to say Arlo, which he sees as far too soft. I disagree.
I think he doesn't like Ole because it sounds like a foreign name.
Ethnic Nosh.
A little I know about your father.
Ethnic Nosh.
I do like to know both A, that your father has a rule of naming dogs.
That's good. Yeah.
And then B,
it's the sort of thing you have when you're born in 1927.
That in naming you, he also applied his rule of naming dogs.
Except he could never remember my name. The reason my son is called George is that my father would constantly call me George because he couldn't remember my name, Michael. And so that's partly I named my son a name that my father could actually remember. God, I need to go to therapy. Rog, another way to connect to us, meninblazers.wikispaces.com/. That's a wonder of the modern world. Always, you can go to meninblazers.com. Follow us on Twitter at Embassy Davies, at Rog Bennett, at Men in Blazers, on Instagram at Men in Blazers. We've got a Facebook page, Rog. Lovely stuff there. We've got a subreddit maintained by GFOP Akshay. That's at reddit.com/r/meninblazers. You can always email us, meninblazers@gmail.com. You can always send your ravens to the crap part of Soho Rog. Vendorpunked.
War pig.
Who wants to sex Mutombo?
Explosion.
Courage.
Size the day.
Is that your analysis?
To tweed.
Abrigado. Rock on, mate.
Kung fu fight in America.
Love you, Rog.
And I open up my heart to Arlo Black too, David.
That means more to me than your love.